Chapter 52. Disagreeable to you. But if you suppose I care a damn for that, you are most stupendously mistaken. Oh, well, said Lush, rising with his hands in his pockets, and feeling some latent venom still within him, if you have made up your mind. Only there's another aspect of the affair. I have been speaking on the supposition that it was absolutely certain she would accept you, and that destitution would have no choice. But I am not so sure that the young lady is to be counted on. She is kittle cattle to shoe, I think. And as he had her reasons for running away before. Lush had moved a step or two till he stood nearly in front of Grand Court, though at some distance from him. He did not feel himself much restrained by consequences, being aware that the only stronghold he had on his present position was his serviceableness, and even after a quarrel the want of him was likely sooner or later to recur. He foresaw that Gwendolyn would cause him to be ousted for a time, and his temper at this moment urged him to risk a quarrel. As he had her reasons, he repeated more significantly. I had come to that conclusion before, said Grandcourt, with contemptuous irony. Yes, but I hardly think you know what her reasons were. You do, apparently, said Grandcourt, not betraying by so much as an eyelash that he cared for the reasons. Yes, and you had better know too, that you may judge of the influence you have over her, if she swallows her reasons and accepts you. For my own part I would take odds against it. She saw Lydia in Cardle Chase, and heard the whole story. Grandcourt made no immediate answer, and only went on smoking. He was so long before he spoke that Lush moved about, and looked out of the windows, unwilling to go away without seeing some effect of his daring move. He had expected that Grandcourt would tax him with having contrived the affair, since Mrs. Glasher was then living at Gadsmere, 100 miles off, and he was prepared to admit the fact. What he cared about was that Grandcourt should be staggered by the sense that his intended advances must be made to a girl who had that knowledge in her mind, and had been scared by it. At length Grandcourt, seeing Lush turn toward him, looked at him again and said, contemptuously, what follows? Here certainly was a aid in answer to Lush's heck. And though his exasperation with Grandcourt was perhaps stronger than it had ever been before, it would have been idiocy to act as if any further move could be useful. He gave a slight shrug with one shoulder, and was going to walk away, when Grandcourt, turning on his seat toward the table, said, as quietly as if nothing had occurred, oblige me by pushing that pen and paper here, will you? No thunderous, bullying superior could have exercised the imperious spell that Grandcourt did. Why, instead of being obeyed, he had never been told to go to a warmer place, was perhaps a mystery to those who found themselves obeying him. The pen and paper were pushed to him, and as he took them he said, just wait for this letter. He scrawled with ease, and the brief note was quickly addressed. L. Let Hutchins go with it at once, will you? Said Grandcourt, pushing the letter away from him. As Lush had expected, it was addressed to Miss Harleth, offendin'. When his irritation had cooled down he was glad there had been no explosive quarrel, but he felt sure that there was a notch made against him, and that somehow or other he was intended to pay. It was also clear to him that the immediate effect of his revelation had been to harden Grandcourt's previous determination. But as to the particular movements that made this process in his baffling mind, Lush could only toss up his chin in despair of a theory. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.